So we had started a discussion on separating Truma and Maaser on Yom Tov, and had brought in this discussion about the bundle of mustard, and you want to crumble some off in order to eat it on Yom Tov. And Abaye had challenged it. He had two different objections. One was the Borer objection when you are doing Melila, and we said the Erev Yom Tov, on Yom Tov, whatever. The second objection was the Truma objection, because you said you're not allowed to separate Truma on Yom Tov. So, thank you. The Gemara gave its response, and we went through last time Rashi versus Tosfos on the Gemara's response. You don't need to know any of that in order to get today's Gemara, which I feel bad about, because really they should connect better, but realistically missing last week, and in general the flow is not simple. But Abaye discusses here the machlokas between Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, that was in the Braisa that we brought in the previous discussion. So in other words, take a look at the top of the page, the end of the first line on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Hichnis is what you want to look at, because that Braisa was part of the discussion about the Truma objection that Abaye brought, when we had said that you are allowed to crumble off some of this mustard to eat on Yom Tov. So one objection was, well, how are you going to separate Truma? Right? And the Gemara's response invoked this Braisa, which says, Hichnis Shibalin, if you bring in a grain in a sheaves. Okay, and the key to remember here, and it's going to make all the difference in the world in our Gemara, is that there's kidneyos, of which this chardal, this mustard, may be a part. And then there's, separate from that, is shibalin, which refers to wheat, barley, grain. And they have certain different rules, because when you process kidneyos, really all you do is you have whatever it is, the pod or whatever that the beans are in, you crack it open, and you have your stuff to use. Whereas wheat and barley, you normally process by threshing, and you take large amounts. You're not just going to eat it one by one. And that was our discussion that we had last time. We distinguished between melila, where you crush the end of it and just take one thing out, versus where you do a whole threshing process. So what the Braisa here says is, hichnas shibalin lasos mehen isa. If you bring in sheaves of grain, intending to make dough, so you're intending a mass process. You're not intending a one by one. Ochel mehen arai upater. So you are allowed to eat from them temporarily. You take one, you crush it and eat it. That's fine. You do not have a chiyuv truma and maaser, because you haven't done your gemar malacha. You have not completed the processing. The end game is really to process everything in mass and get a big collection of grain together. However, lemolalan bimalilos, if the reason you brought them in was, I want to eat them one by one, then Rebbe says nothing doing. Then Rebbe says you have to separate truma with each one, because this is your gemar malacha. You have no intent of going further. And Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda, this is pata. Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda, this is, no, it doesn't matter. You're still exempt from tithing fundamentally. Okay, so in this braisa, what we say is, everybody agrees that if your intent is to process the wheat and barley fully, then stopping short of that does not trigger a truma maaser obligation. However, if your intent was always to stop short, then it's a machlokes Rebbe, Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe says then you did exactly what you had intended to do, separate truma and maaser, you completed your processing. And Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda says no. And we saw the discussion, Rashi versus Tosfos on that, that doesn't matter for us, but Abaye wants to discuss this debate between Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda regarding where you bring them in, intending them for malilos, intending them to be for this non-processed consumption. Are we clear on where we're coming from? Because without it, you don't want to go anywhere with the rest of this Gemara.
Rabbi Yossi is an Orin.
Rabbi Yossi is a Tana. You do. What are you reading? Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda.
Oh, it is Rabbi Yossi.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yes. So, what the Gemara is going to do is it's going to have two versions of Abaye. There will be version number one, in which Abaye walks you through, and we have a nice discussion. And then there will be an Ika D'Amri version number two with Abaye. So the first version of Abaye starts 8 lines down or so. Eight lines down. Amar Abaye. I don't know what it is in the Steinsaltz, but you'll have to...
Okay.
Amar Abaye. Machlokes Bishibalin. Abaye says, this debate between Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi and Rebbe Yehuda is talking grain. That's where they have this machlokes, which is what you saw. I mean, the Braisa said, Hichnis Shibalin. It was easy. But he says the point is that the debate is only regarding grain. However, Avol Kidnios, Divrei HaKol Isor Yasa Tivla. With Kidnios, everybody agrees that the Isor Yasa are the pods. When you bring them in their pods, they are already Tivla, they are already Tevel. Everybody's going to agree with that. If you take a look on your sheet, you'll see the table that I brought. At first, it looks a little bit, you know, daunting, but it's actually, believe it or not, it's user-friendly. The Abaye 1, the top line, all he says is, Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi and Rebbe Yehuda have their debate. If you brought it in grain, that's where there's a debate about whether you need to separate true and meiser or not. However, if you bring in kidneys, and I add in tilsa there because that's what we're going to see in the Gemara as an example of it. But the point is kidneys, if you bring in beans, then everybody agrees, isor yasa tivla, it's tevel, it has to be tithe. That's all Abaye says. Clear? And it makes sense. It's logical. If I bring in grain, which is normally fully processed, so there's a debate about what I do where my intent is not to process it fully. However, if I bring in something that's kidneys, that's never fully processed, so this is it. This is the full processing. Of course, everybody's going to agree that you have to separate true and nicer. That's easy. Lema misayale. So the Gemara says, we can bring a source that will support what Abaye is saying. It's going to give Abaye strength. Where? Misha hayu lo chavile tilson shel tevel. If a person has, this is a Mishnah in Trumos, if a person has chavile tilson, chavilin are bundles, tilson is fenugreek. You have bundles of fenugreek, which is considered to be kidneyos. Don't take anything we say about kidneyos here as related to Pesach. This is a separate discussion. It's kidneyos is just the Gemara's term that we use usually for beans, legumes, whatever. So misha hayu lo chavile tilson shel tevel. If a person has bundles of fenugreek that are tevel, hareze kotesh. What he should do is he should pound them. Umechashev kamazera yesh bahem. Figure out how much of the volume is seed as opposed to stalk or pod. Umafrish al hazera. And he separates truma, meiser, from the seeds. Veno mafrish al ha'etz. He doesn't need to separate for the pods, the inedible stuff. That doesn't count. Okay, only the edible stuff is going to count. End of quote from Trumos. If you have these bundles of fenugreek, so you're supposed to separate truma and meiser. Right? That's the upshot. The side note is, what are you separating it from? But that's what it says, is that you're supposed to separate truma and meiser. So he says, look, my love, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehudahi, Damar Hasam Lotivla. Hachativla, he says, isn't this, even according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, who said regarding the grain, that's the hasam, is the grain. He said regarding grain that it's not tevel, but he will agree that here it is tevel. That by kidneys it is tevel. What we're trying to do is to support Abaye. Abaye's novelty is his statement regarding kidneys. That when it comes to kidneys, forget what you learned regarding grain. With kidneys, everyone's going to agree that you have to tithe, even though it was never really processed. You went from the pod to directly take stuff out to eat. That was Abaye's chiddush. That's Abaye's novelty. Is that with kidneys, you have to separate truma and maisa right away, and then everyone's going to agree. And he says, we have a source here that says exactly that. If you bring in this tilson, this fenugreek, you have to tithe it right away. To which the Gemara says, "Lo, no, I don't need to say that this is everybody. Rebbe, I'll tell you that that was Rebbe speaking. After all, Rebbe said regarding grain that if you decide to eat it right away, you have to separate true and right. So obviously Rebbe will say so regarding kidneys." So the Gemara says, don't prove anything about Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda's position. To which the Gemara says, not so fast. E Rebbe he, if it's really Rebbe talking, then my iria tilson, afilu shibolanami. Then why did you single out fenugreek or kitnios? Rebbe believes the same thing is true regarding grain. Don't waste your time talking about kitnios. Right? That's the obvious one. The grain is a much bigger novelty, you know, for Rebbe to say. Elamais. The Gemara says, then what? Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. You think that you think you're going to say then that it's Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda talking and saying that you have to separate Trumais from Tilson? Lishmein and Sharmine Kitnios for Kolshkin Tilson. If it's really Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, let him make a statement about Kitnios in general. Why did he stop with Tilson? Tilson is only one kind of kitnios. If he meant to say that I am teaching you that kitnios require separation of truma and meiser from the, you know, when they're taken out of the pod, that's what he should have said. Ella Tilson itzrichale. To which the Gemara says, no. There was a reason for him to single out the fenugreek. What's the reason? Salka daita chamina, I would have thought, ha'il vitam etzo upirio shava lifrosh namia etzo. He says, when you take fenugreek, if you were to try to chew the pod would taste just like the contents of the pod. It all tastes the same. So he says, I would have thought, since there's the same taste to the pod and to the edible part, lifrosh namia etzo, maybe you should have to tithe from the pod too. And that's why he singled it out, in order to teach me that you don't need to do so. But the upshot of it is that this was all, that was the first version of Abaye. The upshot of it is that we have successfully proved that the Mishnah in Trumos is even according to the view of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. And as Abaye said, everyone will agree that if you're dealing with kidneys, you have to separate Truma and Meiser. Even though all you did was pop the pot open to take stuff out.
Okay, we're saying it could be. We don't know that it is.
That it is what?
We don't know that the second one talking about Truma is according to them. It could be according to Rebbe.
No. What we're saying is that it is Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda. Because if it were Rebbe, then they wouldn't have mentioned Kitnios. They would have mentioned Shibalin, which is the bigger Kiddush. So therefore, it has to be Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda. We were bothered because if it's Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda, why did he say Kitnios outright? And our answer is because there was something to teach regarding fenugreek.
So it's still teaching specific. So Gavurcha, they teach us that you don't have to.
Yeah, you're right. Melsa Gavurcha, exactly. So again, to make sure that we're clear on what Abaye has done with at least version one of Abaye, what Abaye is teaching me is that when it comes to what obligates me to separate Truma and Meiser, my intent matters. In terms of what I, you know, what my goal is, do I intend to stop here or do I intend to go further? And normal practice matters. What is the standard practice for it? And that's the debate between Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to grain. I think this is a nice way to present it. This is probably a stronger way to present it. When I look at the question of how you define Gemar Malacha, Gemar Malacha, the completion of the processing which is going to trigger the obligation for separating true and meiser. I have two different factors that are identified in our sugya. There are more factors, but there are two that are used in our sugya. One factor is, how is this normally processed? Right? What's normal? And then the other factor that is weighed in is, what was my intent? So, in the case of beans, kidneys, including tilson, the norm is not to process it, and my intent is not to process it, so they coincide. And therefore, Abaye says everybody's going to agree you have to separate truma and meiser. Because there is no further stage. Intent and normal are all on the same page. The challenge is, what if I bring in shibolin, these sheaves, where the normal is to have more steps to process it, but my intent is to stop here and eat it. So according to Rebbe, my intent is to stop here, therefore I have to separate Truman Meiser. Intent trumps normal. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says no. He says it doesn't matter what you intended. Fundamentally, normally, this is fully processed. Therefore, if you stop here, granted that as far as you're concerned, this is Gemar Malacha, as far as the world is concerned, it's not. And therefore, you're going to be Potter. That's, I think, a good way to present the debate.
I'm not sure if I remember correctly, but there's a whole issue or debate on when the Chiyuv Tumot Nosot is on a Kriya. The Meruha Kriya is basically was considered the Gemar Malacha.
Right, there's a whole other discussion of what is Gemar Malacha. Right. It's not popping it open with your fingers and just, you know, taking a small piece
out. But even if you bring it into your house and you want to just leave it, it's already
Chiyuv. Right, so there we have other discussions. Yes, Pnei HaBayis is one.
Right.
If it's a Shabbos meal, that's another one. Is it a Kavua meal versus an Arai?
So does any of those matter?
Not for us again, no. So, that's version one of Abaye. Easy.
In Rabbi's opinion of the way that this is going, Abaye's explanation of that is fascinating. There's no issue of Maris Ayin then, because we're now basing things on Machshava, where someone may say he brought it in order to do it with his hands, and therefore he would have been chayav of truma and shouldn't be doing it.
Say this again. Sorry.
Does that add a concept of maris ayin? Because when you're just doing it based on intent, okay, where what the normal intent is, it makes sense. But once you're saying there's exceptions, that someone could be doing something that is permissible to one person because his intent was not to have that as a gemar malacha.
Right, unless you're going to say that it's a normal enough circumstance that the onlooker is going to realize sometimes you are chayav and sometimes you're not chayav, this must be the other circumstance. Yeah, in other words, the same way that we say if you have wet clothing on Shabbos, right, you got stuck in the rain, you fell in a ditch, whatever it was, so we say you're not supposed to hang it where you normally hang the laundry because that looks like you did laundry. Granted, everybody knows it was just a rainstorm. Doesn't matter. But if I don't hang it where the laundry hangs, right, put it somewhere else, I'm fine. Why don't I worry? Because there are lots of reasons why people have wet items. I shouldn't give people a compelling case to think that I did something wrong by hanging it, you know, on the laundry line. But otherwise, we don't rule out everything due to Maris Ayin. We stop short and say, this is a normal case. And I think that's valid when you're dealing with the grain, where people clearly did decide to stop short and just crush a little bit and eat it. And, you know, it's considered relatively normal in the Gemara. Okay, so that's version one. Then we get Abaye version two. Don't get disturbed by Abaye version two. It's actually easier than Abaye version one. Ika de Amri. Some read it this way. Amar Abaye machlokes bishibolin. Abaye says the debate is where it is in the sheaves, just like he said before. The debate between Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is the same debate. Rebbe saying chayav, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda saying potter, where you brought in the grain and for the same reason. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda saying I go with what is normal. And what is normal is a full processing, therefore right now I'm not obligated. And Rebbe saying, no, chayiv, because you intend to stop at this stage. The difference is the second half. Avo bekitnios, but if you're dealing with beans, with tilson, whatever it is, it actually says kitnios here. Right, kitnios, not tilson. He says kitnios in general. Divrei hakol isor yasa lo tivla. Everybody agrees that it is not tevel. That they're not going to need to be tithed right away. Follow? Mm-hmm. Everybody agrees that it does not require tithing right away. Turning everything that we had assumed about kitnios on their head. So obviously we need to understand why. So, you know, that's going to be a question we have to work with. The Gemara asks, Mesvei, that source that we brought in the first version as a support for Abaye, the brisa that says you bring in the kitnios, the whatever, the chavilei tilson, you have to tithe it, right? Pound it and calculate it and tithe it, we said, right? So there it was a support for Abaye, because it was a Mishnah, I should say. It was a Mishnah in Trumas that said explicitly, tithe the kitnios, tithe the tilson. But now it's going to be a challenge, because Abaye has just said that everybody says you're potter from tithing kitnios. So why does my Mishnah in Trumas tell me to tithe the tilson? You follow what's going on? This doesn't have to be... according to the first version of Abaye, the first and second version of Abaye agree regarding grain. The grain part of it is a cinch. The debate between the two is regarding kitnios. In the first version of it, Abaye said kitnios have to be tithed. And we supported that. Because I have a Mishnah that says tilson has to be tithed.
Everyone agrees that it has
to be. Yeah. No, but the Mishnah didn't say everyone. It just didn't have any disagreement. The second version of Abaye says everybody believes it does not need to be tithed. So now that same source becomes a roet. So that same source is a problem now, right? The same source that said that you're supposed to tithe tilson is now in disagreement with Abaye. So the Gemara asks, Meisvei, we learned not that long ago, Misha hayul chavilei tilson shel tevel, if a person has bundles of fenugreek that are tevel, hareza kodesh, he pounds it, umachashiv kamazera yeshba, and he calculates how much seed is in there, umafrish al hazera, then umafrish al ha'etz. And again, he separates from the edible parts, not from the inedible parts. He doesn't count the inedible as part of it. So what do I do now with that Mishnah? My love, tevel tavol shel truma, isn't that talking about tevel that requires truma to be separated from it, which is what I assume when I see the word tevel? So the Gemara says, no, that's because you don't understand what the word tevel means. Lo, tevel tavol shel trumas meiser. What we're actually talking about is tevel that requires trumas meiser to be separated from it. Let me explain what that means. First thing I'm supposed to tithe is truma. Well, the very first thing is bikurim, but the Gemara will come back to that. After the bikurim are all over, right, I brought my first fruits to Yerushalayim, we had a parade, shavuos, very nice. Then I take my first 2%, roughly, and give it to the kohen. That's my truma. Then I take 10%, I give it to the Levi. That's my serishim. The Levi then takes 10% of the meiser and gives it to a Kohen. That's called Trumas Meiser. It was in Parshas Korach, not long ago. The Levi is going to give 10% of his Meiser to the Kohen. That's the order that's supposed to happen. I give Truma, I give Meiser, Levi gives Trumas Meiser to the Kohen. So here's the following question. Do we view Trumas Meiser as an obligation on the overall produce, or as an obligation on the meiser? Practical. Let's say I have 100 tomatoes. Okay? I'm giving my first 2 tomatoes to the Kohen. I now have 98 tomatoes left. I then take 10%, 9.8 tomatoes, and I give them to the Levi. The Levi now has to give 0.98 tomatoes to the Kohen. Right? 10% of the 9.8 that he received. What if, instead of that, I said to the Levi, don't worry about it, I got your back. I'm going to give 2%, I'm giving 2 tomatoes to the Kohen, and I'm going to throw in another 0.98 tomatoes to cover you for your Trumas Meiser. You can enjoy the whole 9.8. What happens? Does that work?
Well, he's taking away the part that the Levi was supposed to give.
Well, I didn't take it away. I gave him 10%. That's exactly the question. Do I view Trumas Meiser as an obligation upon the produce or upon the Levi that he has to give 10% to the Kohen? That's the key question here in our Gemara. And the Gemara's application of that question is slightly different from what I just said, but it takes you to the same end. What happens if I brought in my grain into the granary and the Levi jumped the gun? Before I could do the truma or anything, the Levi came in and he grabbed his meiser. He got it even ahead of the truma. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi will spell it out for you. If you see Rashi, lo betevel tavul l'trumas meiser, it is counting up from the bottom of the page, you want to go up 10 lines. Lo betevel tavul l'trumas meiser. You see it? He says, la'olam ein chavilin gemar malacha. I will tell you that everybody agrees that the kitnios are not, the tilson is not considered completed, such that it should require tithing at that stage. In other words, supporting Abaye's read. That kitnios do not require trumas meiser at that stage. Ve'ilu gabe Yisrael hu, lo v'mikri tevel. As far as the Yisrael, the owner, who wants to take a little bit and eat it, it's not tevel. Ella, but what we're talking about here is Biben Levi Koi. It's talking about a Levi. Shekondam v'halach etzel Yisrael. He went to the Yisrael. He took the initiative. V'notal meiser rishon mimenu b'chavilin. He took meiser while the stuff was still in its bundles. V'hoil v'chalal chavilin halalu shem meiser. Since these chavilin that he takes are now meiser, Nasu tevel etzlo, they become tevel for him. Lahafrish mehem trumas meiser min hameiser. He has to separate trumas meiser from the meiser that he has received. Sha'a Levi lahafrish, that's Levi's obligation. Vehi b'misa, and it's very serious. It's misa bidei shamayim, death at God's hands if somebody eats trumas meiser inappropriately. V'chol Torah's truma aleh, all the laws of truma will apply for the truma's meiser, the truma kaye rachmana, because the Torah calls it truma. V'nachshav lachem trumaschem. So the point is that is what we are talking about here. What we're talking about is this case in which the Levi has taken meiser, and by dint of taking meiser, he generated an obligation for truma's meiser to be separated from it. Go back to the question that I asked you about how Trumas Meiser works. If we say that Trumas Meiser is supposed to be separated from the produce as a whole, the fact the Levi took Meiser does not trigger an obligation yet for Trumas Meiser to be separated. Because the bottom line is, it's not Tevel yet. However, if I say that it's a Levi's obligation, Levi, once you get Meiser, separate 10% and give it to the Kohen, then guess what? Even though the source of this stuff isn't obligated in Truma yet, the Levi's Meiser is obligated in Truma's Meiser.
Okay, can we back up one step on that?
You bet.
Okay, so I understand the part about the Levi and his portion being Chayav.
Mm-hmm.
But once he takes his from the pile...
Yep.
Okay. Let's deal in two scenarios. Forget the Levi for a second. If no one took anything from the pile, then nothing is Chayav.
Correct.
Okay. Now, let's go to the scenario where the Levi does take from the pile.
Yep.
Does that not also mechayev the Yisrael now that his is also tevel?
Nope.
Because he started the process of taking.
The Levi started the process of taking.
But it means the Yisrael started the process of giving.
Doesn't matter.
That doesn't matter.
Correct. It's an odd thing in the sense that what we're really in is an intermediate stage. In that even though it's not obligated in Meiser, if the Levi takes it, it is called Meiser. Contrast that with when the produce is connected to the ground. If the Levi comes along then and says, I'm taking 10% of your produce and calling it meiser, we call him a thief. But at this intermediate stage, it is called meiser. It's legitimate.
The only thing that bothers me is that tevel usually is not what we are talking now. Tevel usually is untithed produce. And here we...
Right, but what we're saying is that's not what tevel means. Tevel means a tithe is required. Some tithe is required.
So it's the tithe by the Levi and not by the Baruch.
Right. Now, what we have not asked here, but is the most fascinating question...
What happened with the Kohen here?
Is the question of the figures you'd ask. Yeah. The question is, what happens to the Truma? Do I now say that the Levi is obligated to give 2% of his Meiser to the Kohen as Truma?
Well, 2% of the Kohen loses.
Or do I say that the Yisrael is obligated to give 2% of the whole when he is going to tithe his own? Or do I say you lost out on 2% of the 10%? Different ways to look at it. That's not our discussion at the moment, though. But the Gemara is going to talk more about this issue of changing the order and all that. So,
well, that's why I thought the Yisrael would be chayev now. It would be chayev for him, too, at this point.
Right. So the answer is no.
Okay.
So
was the mitzvah actually not on the giver, but on... Oh, do you see that case based on the example you just given?
That's correct. and therefore on the levy. Well, no, it's not on the produce. It's on the levy. If I viewed it as being on the produce,
he short-circuited the produce.
Marauding.
Right.
Because you have a marauding levy. So
right.
Which there were.
And therefore, the levy is going to have the obligation to give Trumas Meiser.
There was no obligation on the owner of the produce to ensure that this didn't happen prior to him doing what he had to.
Correct. Well, yes and no. Yes, in the sense that the levy is going to be the one who's going to have to worry about it. But on the other hand, as we'll see, we're not there yet, but as we'll see, if the Yisrael initiates this in any way, he is violating a mitzvah from the Torah. Going out of order is a violation of a mitzvah, in fact. We'll see that. If we get to it today, it's the mechilta that I brought on your sheets. But but yes, there is indeed an obligation to do it in the proper order, and the one who violates that is in trouble. So Abaye, in this version of things, Abaye has said that everybody agrees that the kitnios are exempt at this stage. We challenged him and said, then why do we call bundles of tilson a tevel? And our answer is, we're not talking about standard bundles and standard tevel. We're talking about where the levy jumped the gun, and tevel there means tevel for Trumas Meiser. Even though, as Charlie noted, this is not what I would have assumed when I read the word tevel. This is a strained read of that Mishnah.
And how does it work for the first part?
Yeah, I just have the same question.
This is all within the second version of Abaye. The first version of Abaye isn't interested.
So the different definitions of tevel, or the story, is different in Abaye 1 and Abaye 2?
Correct. These are different ways to read the Mishnah from Trumas. That is correct.
Okay, but based on this, what is the Gemara Malacha for Kitnia? Like, what for Kitnia?
Right, so I wasn't sure. I thought maybe it's if I take a lot of them and actually do it all together, but I don't actually know within this view. It's a good question. But look at what happens here now. And it is worth knowing, because the truth is we passed him with the second version of Abaye.
Yes, so we have to the definition of what the Gemara Malacha is.
It's a good point. So the Gemara then asks a separate set of questions. You know what? I'm actually going to hold off on the separate set of questions to do Tosfos instead, even though, yeah, I think that's a wiser way to do this, is actually to look at Tosfos first. Okay. It's a little odd, but it makes more sense. Tosfos Ika de Amri has a terrible problem here, which is important to know methodologically. He says, okay, one of the authors of the Balei Tosfos, he is French, right? C-O-U-C-Y is Kutzi. So he asks, this takes a certain amount of guts in order to make an assertion like this. He says, there is no such thing as an Ika de Amri like this anywhere else in Shas. Shehula hefech min harishon, in that it is the precise opposite of the first point of view. And what he means by that is what I showed you on the table. Abaye 1 says that everybody agrees that kitnios are obligated in Truman Maisa right away. And Abaye 2 says everybody agrees that Kineos is Pater. So he says diametrically opposite versions of it are unacceptable in the Ika de Amri. He says, Devade Matzinu Bishar Makomos Lishna Kama Divrei Akol the Ika de Amri Bahanami Pligi. He says what you find in other places is version 1 will say everybody agrees X, and version 2 will say there's a machlokes regarding X. Some agree, some disagree. Or alternatively, some say this is a machlokes, and that one was a divrei akol. You can get that, where the first version will say it's a machlokes, and the second version will say no, everybody agrees. Avalki agav nolo. But we don't find cases like this. Dechol apachos havale lemeimar debekitnios machlokas. He should have at least said in version 2 that kitnios is a debate. Aval b'shibolin kuli amodu. And that when it's shibolin, then everybody agrees. That I could have seen. But what he's done here is completely flipping the kitnios case on its head. So Rav Shimshon Mikutzi is very angry. Now the truth of the matter is that I've seen other Ika de Amris that I thought were flipping something on its head. But let's see what Tosus does here. Including an Ika de Amri actually back on Yod Aleph and Yod Aleph. But anyway, Vitirates. He answers this way. He says you have to have a different read of what's going on in Abaye 1 and in Abaye 2. And that's what I brought for you on the sheet with my two rows. He says, Vitirates Tahafi Kamar Lishnakama. This is the first version of Abaye. Machlokes Bishibalin Hecha Shapiresh Behedya Shech Nisan Lishibalin. The machlokes regarding grain of Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi Rebbe Yehuda applies where he specified explicitly that he's bringing it in for shibalin, meaning for full processing. That they're going to be processed like grain is processed, like dagon. Aval bekidneys, but if you're dealing with the beans, Shapiresh lemolulun, where you said explicitly, I'm doing melila, which is the short-term processing, divrei akol tivla, then everybody agrees that it's going to be tevel, v'hu adin depligi bekitnios stam u'bishibolin stam, and it would also be a machlokes if you brought in kitnios without saying what you're going to do with them, short-term or long-term, and if you brought in grain and didn't say what you're doing with it, short-term or long-term. So within this first version of Abaye, he says, the machlokes is in shibalim, whether you specified or didn't specify, will be either way, same machlokes, same exact thing as on the top. However, within kitnios, it's also a machlokes if you didn't specify. And when Abaye said, everybody agrees, you're chayav, he was only talking about where you specified it was for Malila. Uleika de'amri hachi ki'amar. And within the second version of Abaye, this is what it's saying. Machlokes b'shibolin stam shalo piresh lemololan. The debate applies to shibolin where you didn't say what you're going to do with it. Avo b'kitnios stama kuli amamodu delo tivlu. But by kitnios, if you don't specify, everybody agrees that you're potter, because the assumption is that it could be long-term. V'hu adin b'kitnios shechnisa l'mololan pligi. And the debate will apply also with kitnios where you specify that it's for melila. V'chein b'shibalan pligi. And with shibalan that you specified for full processing. It's also a machlokes. Okay, so what he has done is he has reduced the debate between Abaye 1 and Abaye 2. He has retained the fundamental text that we have. He hasn't altered anything in terms of our text. He just said that it's talking about subcases. That when Abaye 1 says everybody is chayav for kitnios, that's talking about where you specified it's for melila. And where Abaye said that everybody, Abaye 2 said that everyone says putter for kitnios, that's where you did not specify that it's for melila.
Specify meaning that he says
to actually state it. Correct. And so what he has accomplished, as he then says in his next line, he says, V'hashta necha delo havi lehefech legamri. Now we're happy, because now they're not entirely opposite. D'hada ka'amar lishnakama depligi masakacha b'di'ika de'amri divrayako lo tivla. That which he said was clear according to everybody in the first one, which was where you specify melila, is a machlokes in the second one. And now what he says in the second one is clear-cut, is a machlokes in the first one, but at least there's somebody retaining that point of view. You're not flipping the world on its head. Clear? It's a very interesting point that I really wanted to make sure we got in terms of how Ika de Amris work in the Gemara, because keep in mind what an Ika de Amri is. Ika de Amri means that there's somebody sitting in the base medrash who says, Abaye says, fill in the blank, and there's somebody else who's in the base medrash and says, no, Abaye says something else. And if you have two people reporting that Abaye said diametrically opposite things, you're in trouble. If, you know, they're sort of similar, Abaye said everybody agrees whatever, and he says, no, Abaye only said that one said that, that I can live with. But to say that two people have opposite views, that's a problem. And so that's why he says that the that can't be. It's not acceptable. He has to reread what's going on here in order to make it fit so that it won't be the case. So again, going back into our Gemara now. Whether I take Hosos's read or I take sort of the normal read doesn't affect what I'm doing in the next few lines. What we have now said, we're still in Abaye number 2. So Abaye number 2 said that the Machlokes...
Can I say for one second?
Sorry.
I really got confused
yeah.
in the Tosfot.
Yeah.
Based on what is being said, when we go back to our Gemara, when it says L'molalad B'lilut, is that referring to Shibolim, or is that referring to Kidniot?
It can refer to either one. Which line are you on?
I guess it would be your third line.
Oh, on the top, L'molim B'melilos V'mechayev. So there it's definitely talking about Shibolim. It has to be grain. That whole discussion is grain.
Okay, which is what I assume.
The only question is, what will they say for Kidneys?
Okay, in the Tosfot, though, when he's explaining this, according to Abaye 1, isn't he trying to say that's Kidneys?
No. He's what Abaye did in the Gemara is to say what Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda did in the mission in that Brisa was regarding grain, but regarding kidneys, it's going to be different.
Right, and so that Lamola and Bemelilut would be applying to kidneys.
No. He's not.
He's not saying that.
No, he's saying that was grain in the whole thing. Hichnas Shibalin, Hichnas Amolim Bimlilos. Hichnas Shibalin means where I brought them in either without specifying or where I specified full process. Hichnas Amolim Bimlilos means I brought it in intending this is going to be short-term process. This is not going to be full process.
So the logic he brings works, but how does he know this?
Has does another rule?
Yeah.
He has to have learned through Shas.
No, sorry, the rule I'm okay with, but how does he figure out...
That's the way he would do it?
I think that's... I know it works, but from where does he get that all of these...
And the right.
Where did all these boxes work?
Right, and the answer is, what he has done is he has come up with a way to divide the cases...
Yeah, so that they work, now I understand
that. No, but that's it. Where does that's it. Work? In other words, if you could conceive of another... Paper. Absolutely.
That's the local.
But the solution.
Yep.
To the issue that he's raised, I understand that, but like, is there anywhere where we know
yes.
where that? Oh, there is.
Well, what we do know is we already saw in the Bryce at the top that when you specify intent, the rules change, as opposed to when you bring it in stam. So he has precedent for making that kind of distinction. But really, what it reminds me of is actually something I'm giving in a shir for the Avrechim tomorrow. We're talking about Shemitas Ksafim. And you know, the idea that loans are nullified in the Shemitah year. And without getting into all the nuances of what's being discussed there, there's a point where the Rambam says something. And the Ravid says, you know, that is a logical way to read the Yerushalmi. However, there is this other way you could read the Yerushalmi, and it would actually fit the wording better. And when he's done saying that, the Ravid then says, the bottom line, whoever, he says, the truth of the Gemara. Let me see. Actually, I sent out the source sheet. Let me see if I can pull it up on here.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but what he did is he just formulated positions so that it works.
Positions are explanations.
It was coming from a lawyer. Don't you always formulate positions?
That's right.
It works.
Okay, yeah, the Ravid's closing line in Shmita V'Yovel, it's Tesches, is, after he has said, you know, you could read it this way and so on, he says, Klalo Shel Davar, here's the rule. Lo Nimsar HaGemara Ela O Lebale HaKabbalah O Lebale HaSvara HaNechona. He says, the Gemara is given either to those who have a tradition or to those who have the right logic. That's it. You have to be able to make the pieces fit. If you can make the pieces fit, you win the game. So to speak. It's not a game, but you know what I'm saying. That's the, I think it's very true. Because you're right, you're hundreds of years later. You're doing your best you can with material that presents a specific problem. So just to conclude the piece here, because it'll make things a lot easier if you see it this week as opposed to trying to come back to it next week. Within Abaye 2, he said that the kitnios is patur when it's in the chavilin, right? And it's only tabel in that we'll say that the Levi went early, and therefore now, he has to separate trumas meiser. So the Gemara asks a question. We are now seven lines up from the bottom. Last word on the line is kotesh. If that's true, if that's the scenario, then kotesh lamali. Why do we make him pound the thing before he separates trumas meiser? Let him just do it as it is right now. Let him give unprocessed material to the kohen. Right? It's, in other words, processing it made sense if processing was what generated the chiyuv. But it didn't generate the chiyuv here. He's obligated anyway. So the Gemara says, he said, Lemalei, let him say to the Kohen, Ki hechi diavuli hachi hevnalach. They gave me unprocessed stuff, and that's what I'm going to turn over to you. You don't have a right to demand value-added material from me. So Amar Rava, the answer is, yeah, but this is Knasa. It's a fine. Right? Because he jumped the line, so we're going to punish him for having jumped the line. His point is, normally we understood that kotesh in that Mishnah meant kotesh and then separated because kotesh is a processing element. It's what's going to generate your chiyuv. And maybe that's your answer, Howie, in terms of what generates the chiyuv. It's when you pound a bunch of it as opposed to cracking one open with your fingers. I don't know. But the point is that kotesh in our first version, in Abaye 1, was a way in which you generated your obligation to separate truma and meiser, and then you would be kotesh, and then you tithe. But if here we're saying the Levi is obligated anyway because he took the meiser, so therefore he has to give the trumas meiser, so let him hand over the trumas meiser right away. Why does he need to process it before he gives it? And our answer is, as a fine, we're punishing him because he had no business jumping the line. You jump the line, you're going to have to do the work now. That's what we're saying to him. That's the statement. And Tanya Nami Hachi, we have a brisa that supports this read that says Ben Levi Shanas Nulo Shibolin B'Maserosav. If they give the Ben Levi sheaves for his meiser, meaning he came in early before processing, so Osa Osin Gorin, he makes a granary out of it. Anavim, they gave him grapes, osos and yayin, he can make wine out of it. Zasim, olives, osos and shemen, he makes oil. But he has to do the processing. Then, umafresham, trumas meiser, venosim lakoi. And then he has to separate trumas meiser and give to the, to the kohen. Shekashem shetruma gedola, eina nitelas ella minagorin minayekev. Just like truma should not be taken early, it should be taken from once you've done the processing, you have the granary, you have the wine press. Kach trumas meiser, eina nitelas ella minagorin minayekev. So too, trumas meiser is supposed to be taken from the granary, from the wine press. So
what's the chiddush of the whole case then, of the fennel Greek? Because if you have this case for the grain and for everything else already,
yeah,
teaching us this halacha, so why do we have the case there whatsoever?
Only about the, because it was teaching us that you don't have to tithe from the inedible part, even though it has the taste.
Good for that.
Yeah. So what's the knas at the end of the day that he has?
The knas is that we're forcing him to do the work on behalf of the kohen.
Or instead of the balabite.
Well, the balabite ship has sailed. He's not giving the trumas meiser anyway.
Right.
It doesn't affect him, but it affects the kohen.
Finished the work. Okay.
Yeah. Alright, so that's a good spot actually to pick up next time. Technically it leaves us with one question in Mechashev, but that opens up a new can of worms that we need to discuss. Okay. Shkaya.